Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Elena Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight, we talk about what we can do to help prevent depression and suicide among our teenagers. How do we create awareness for the signs of depression in our teenagers? How do we recognize that the depression may be more severe and may even need more psychological and medical attention? Tonight, my guest is Maggie Jugan, a 17-year-old senior at Palmyra High School, right near Hershey, Pennsylvania, who with several other members of her senior class has established an organization called MMM, Make a Mark for Mark, a fellow classmate who took his life this past December 2013. To honor Mark's memory, they are holding two events, a student art auction this month and a mental health fair on May 18th. It is a pleasure to welcome Maggie Jugan, co-founder of Make a Mark for Mark, to help us to take charge of our lives. Welcome, Maggie Jugan.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell me, what made you form this organization called MMM, Make a Mark for Mark? What created the idea for you?
After I had found out what had happened with Mark, I actually found out through social media. I knew that personally I had to do something about it. I was so stricken because he was such a creative and bubbly and funny and outgoing person, it was a shock to see. And I was moved that I knew if this could happen to him, this could happen to anybody else, and we really needed to do something about it.
And when you say happened, you mean he took his own life?
Yes, he did. Yeah, December 18th of this past year, he committed suicide.
And that came as a shock to you?
It did, and it came as a shock to a lot of the student body and the community as well.
And had you known Mark going to school? You're a senior. Mark was a senior as well, wasn't he?
He was. My last name is Jugan, and his was Kaler, so we were only the letter apart. So everything that we did class-wise, we were in the same class. Or graduation materials, when we went to go get those, or down to guidance, we had the same guidance counselor. So we would always run into each other. We would always have classes together. And he was one of the most creative and funny individuals that I have ever really met.
And did you ever see any sign when talking with him or in class that would led you to have believed that he would have had this, felt this way about himself and had a problem which led him to take his life?
I personally had not seen any signs, but that doesn't mean that there weren't any there. People become very good at putting a mask on and not letting their emotions and their real feelings come through, and especially because I wasn't so close to him, I really didn't have the opportunity to see a lot of the signs that might have been there.
Did this come as a shock, or had there been any other experiences in Mark's life that might have put one on notice that he was in danger?
He had gotten to a very low point this past March 2013, where he really couldn't pull himself out of it. And, his family was very supportive. He had friends who were very supportive. And he, went to some sort of counseling over the summertime. And there was progression that was seen. And I believe he did stop counseling at some point. But leading up to the event, there wasn't anything that the student body had really seen that would have caused concern.
Now, when you said he had difficulty, did he make a previous attempt on his life?
Yes, he did.
And that was in March?
It was in this past March, yes.
And that was when the family took him to counseling?
Yes, they knew they needed to intervene, and that's one of those moments where, there was a problem, and he did come forward and he did say that he needed some type of help, which is, what, of course, we always encourage.
Now, on the website, you have here some information about Mark, that Mark always had a smile, a kind word, or something funny to say to brighten someone's day. And it says here that a fellow student said, "I saw him the first thing every day when I arrived at school. He never failed to greet me and say something that made me laugh." So he seemed like a very warm, outgoing person, where you wouldn't believe that this could have taken place. Did you notice any signs? Were you in class with him at all?
I was. I had some classes with him last year, and I didn't see any signs, but like I said, it doesn't mean, you know, that there weren't any. Some of his closer friends, they had mentioned, you know, he was, you know, a little more quiet than usual, but there wasn't anything drastically different that would have really, you know, signaled anything. But when it comes down to it, there is always some type of sign, and we just need to be especially persistent and careful when we look for things, because you never know. And especially people who do have some sort of depression, or they're feeling, you know, self-harmful feelings, they're not going to want to come to you directly. So sometimes, you know, you need to poke and prod a little bit to see, you know, really push them and say, "I care about you. I really want to know what's going on."
What are some of the things that you've learned are signs, Maggie? Have you learned some signs?
I have. Some of the most popular signs that occur are, you know, oversleeping or undersleeping, withdrawing from friends and family, giving away personal belongings, even things like overeating or undereating. If somebody really cares about their appearance, you know, they always come in very clean cut, their hair is always done, their nails are always kept very well, and over time you see there's less self-maintenance, and there's less self-worth that's going on, and somebody who came in, you know, in a suit is now coming in sweatpants and a t-shirt. So that's a very drastic behavior change that we need to look for as well.
And did you see any of these signs in Mark that you're describing?
I didn't know, not personally.
No. And other friends didn't notice it either. So there were no changes that people noticed around him in school or in any way.
Not specifically. In talking to some of his closer friends, like I said, they did see, you know, some signs of him, you know, being a little bit quieter because he was so outgoing. He was a little bit quieter. He was a little bit more, you know, he kept to himself a little bit more, but it wasn't anything drastic enough, you know, that a teenager would say, "Okay, well, this is a problem that needs to be addressed."
So actually, people were unaware. They just felt it was just one of those days,
yeah,
not something to be concerned about. Did Mark, to the best of your ability or knowledge, did he have any concerns or things that he felt badly about himself? Did he do well in school? What was he looking forward to after graduation? Were you aware?
In looking through his things, I was actually talking to his sister a couple days ago, and they found a list of goals that was pinned to his desk. On one of the goals on there was, you know, get a certain average on, you know, this marking period, or get a certain GPA. And another one was become an architect. And he always loved building, especially when he was little. I remember his sister telling me stories that he used to play with Legos and Kinects, and used to build massive structures, and when she used to say, "Okay, Mark, it's time to clean things up," you know, like, he'd get offended, and he'd say, "No, you know, I worked so hard on this, I don't want to clean it up." So that's one of those, you know, those goals that he always kept in, you know, in the back of his head, you know, maybe I want to be an architect, this is something I really want to push towards.
Now, so he had goals, he wanted to be an architect. Were there any concerns that he felt badly, you know, in terms of his self-image? You know, some people, you know, feel badly, or, you know, feel they're too heavy, some people feel they're too skinny. Did he have any physical images or body images that he was concerned about?
I have heard that he was, you know, occasionally made fun of because of his stature. He wasn't, you know, 6 feet tall. He was, I want to say, about maybe 5'5", 5'6". So being the athlete he was, you know, was a very devout baseball player. You know, he dabbled in football. He did a little bit of wrestling. You know, it was hard, you know, being that guy and being that strong presence and not having the stature of everybody else.
So really, it's really hard to determine what specifically went wrong on that December day, December 18th in 2013, when he decided to end his life. I'm talking with Maggie Jugan, who is one of the founders of MMM, Make a Mark for Mark, a young man who unfortunately committed suicide in December of 2013. So tell me, Maggie, as a result of Mark's committing suicide, what made you want to form a group? What made you want to get together with other people for Mark?
I held a vigil in his honor. He died on a Wednesday, and we had the vigil on a Saturday. And like I said before, there was just something about what had happened and it being such a shock that I knew that if this could happen to him, this could happen, you know, to any of my friends or any of my family. And, you know, it was such a shock. And in talking with his family after the vigil, you know, we really want to do something. We want to be involved. We want to get the word out there that, you know, we didn't know that this was going on and this could happen to anybody. We were just a normal family with a normal kid. And we really want to tell the community and show the community and educate them on, you know, the warning signs and the possible causes and the effects of what happens when somebody commits suicide. So we all sat down and we got together, and one thing led to another, and we said, you know, let's start a nonprofit. Let's get our word out there. Let's educate communities. Let's do what we feel needs to be done. And it's been myself, Megan Kaler, which was Mark's sister, and Gay Kaler, which is Mark's mom. So the three of us have really been pushing this forward and trying to get the word out about what we've been doing.
And have you had success? Have you had people who are supporting you?
We have. Actually, in doing the art auction, I've had even friends from, you know, New Jersey. They've called and they've emailed and they've sent in art donations. And we have people coming from, you know, stateswide who, through social networking and Facebook, we've reached. And they said, you know, we really want to be involved. And on the community level, I know we've worked with NK Printing that's in Palmyra, and they've helped us with our T-shirts. And there are so many local organizations who really, you know, they see what's happened. And this is a small town. Palmyra is a small town, and everybody knows everybody. And, you know, Mark being such a charismatic person, you know, it's not like he, you know, kept to himself. He knew a lot of people, and his death affected a lot of people. So people really do want to be involved, and it's really encouraging to see the amount of support that's been going on.
Well, we're going to talk more about Make a Mark for Mark when we return to Take Charge of Your Life on WDIY.
Hi, this is Janice Ian. Every Monday night at 7 o'clock, WDIY is keeping the golden age of folk music alive with folk classics. Your host, Steve Aronson, features music from all the singer-songwriters, including yours truly, from the groups, with a little folk rock sprinkled in for good measure. Folk Classics is the show to listen to, Mondays at 7 p.m. on WDIY.
Do you have vinyl albums or 45s on your shelves that are taking up space and gathering dust? Why not donate them for a good cause? WDIY will receive profits from the records, and you will receive a tax deduction. For more information or to arrange for drop-off or pickup, call 610-694-8100 extension 3 or visit WDIY.org.
Are you a know-it-all or just play one on the internet? Then the new show Ask Me Another might just be your cup of tea or coffee or two-syllable energy drink that begins with the letter M. Play along and test your knowledge of history, pop culture, even math. I'm Ophira Eisenberg. Join me for an hour of puzzles, word games, and trivia. It's Ask Me Another from NPR.
Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on WDIY.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobro, your host. And this evening I'm talking with Maggie Jugon, who is a senior at the Palmyra High School in Pennsylvania, which is right near Hershey, Pennsylvania. And she has, with her fellow seniors at Palmyra, organized MMM, Make a Mark for Mark, in honor of the loss of her fellow classmate, Mark Kaler, who in December of 2013 took his own life. You mentioned the art auction, which is the end of March, but you have another a fair coming up in honor of Mark, and that is a mental health fair. Maggie, tell us, what made you choose and select a mental health fair?
Mental health fairs are great places to have a lot of local resources come together and address, you know, individual problems, you know, group problems. We're, some of the speakers and agencies we're going to have that are going to be there is the Mental Health Awareness Association. We're going to have the LGBT Center of Central Pennsylvania.
What is LGB? What does that stand for?
It's the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Center of Pennsylvania.
Right.
Someone to Tell It To, and that's a great organization as well. The Spirit Teen Line will be there, and there's so many more who are going to be there as well.
And what's the focus of this mental health fair going to be in terms of honoring Mark?
Really getting the word out about, you know, depression affects everybody and mental illness affects everybody. There, you know, are 8.4 million Americans today who are affected by depression. And it's something that, you know, could happen to yourself or a loved one or a friend. And knowing the signs, knowing, you know, the symptoms of feeling depressed and, you know, wanting to hurt yourself is something that needs to be addressed, because we don't want to lose anybody else to this. This is 100% preventable.
And there's also something called stigma about a person feeling badly, that they feel badly, that they, you know, that they're not feeling well and they don't want to talk about it. Can you talk about what you know about stigma?
Stigma is one of the biggest things that we're trying to fight at MMM. Stigma is the feeling towards talking about mental health and depression and suicide. It's, the topic has been so tabooed in our culture that nobody wants to address it, and that's part of the problem. If somebody suffers with depression or somebody's having suicidal feelings, they don't want to be judged by their peers or, you know, by their coworkers or anybody else. And it's the attitude and the belief that it's not okay that's really suppressing anybody who needs help from getting it.
So at the fair, you're going to be talking about stigma. Will there be somebody making a presentation about stigma so that people will be able to understand it?
Stigma is going to be addressed throughout the mental health fair by our keynote speaker, Alexa Moody from Please Live. She's definitely going to address stigma in her presentation. And I know myself, I'm giving a small presentation in one of the side rooms, and that's going to be one of my main focuses as well, because stigma is one of the real problems that, you know, really does affect people getting help.
That's interesting. And what is your point on stigma? You're going to be making a presentation, or you're holding a workshop on stigma, is that it?
It's not necessarily a workshop. What basically the event is going to happen is we're going to have Alexa being the one big presentation when you walk in. And after you see that presentation, you have some options to attend some smaller ones on the side. I know that I'm going to give a presentation in one of the side rooms. Someone to Tell It To is also going to be there. So if you want to hear what they're going to say, you can go into their room. If you don't want to listen to either of us, you can go downstairs, and there's booths from all these different agencies, these local amazing agencies that want to provide resources and that are there to help. And you can, you know, feel free to walk around and see what's going on. There'll be food and refreshments, and you can socialize and really talk about how you feel about the subject.
And you're going to be talking about a stigma. What is the point? What is the main point that you want to raise about stigma, and why you feel it's so important?
Stigma and how we address mental health is what's preventing our youth and even our adults from really getting the services that they need. If you're depressed or you're feeling suicidal or you have some kind of mental illness and you know it and you want to fix it, there's always that thought in the back of your head that somebody is going to think that I'm crazy. I'm never going to be looked at the same. I'm going to be judged. No one's going to want to talk to me if they know that I've been for help. And there are so many people who have wanted to go for help and who have said, you know what, there's nobody who cares. There's nobody who wants to hear this. There's nobody who thinks that going for help is okay. It's easier to just not want to be here at all. So in preventing stigma and talking about the subject and getting, you know, the conversation out in the open and saying, you know, mental health is like physical health. And if we can talk about a surgery we've had 2 weeks ago completely and openly, and we've been to the hospital and we've been to doctors to talk about it, why can't we talk about the health of our brain? Why is that any different?
I think that's an excellent idea. And I had a guest, I think a couple of years ago, who talked about the possibility of having having stigma put aside by having mental health evaluations starting in preschool. And just as we have little tests about our physical health, that we should have mental health tests as well all throughout school. What is your thought on that?
I think that wouldn't necessarily be a bad idea. There's no conversation about mental health until, you get into, maybe your later years of high school, or even it's pushed back into, after you graduate college and into your adulthood, and then it's not really even talked about or addressed. We hear a lot about bullying programs, which are great, and I'm an advocate for that extremely, but when it really comes to it, bullying, causes depression, and even if you address the bullying, you're not addressing the internal feelings of that person. And you can stop the bully, you can address that, but no matter how much they want to get help, there's still that stigma that's sitting there. And if we talk about it in schools and we talk about it in communities and it becomes a dinner time conversation, then it'll be okay to get help. And it'll be okay to say, instead of going for, my yearly physical at the doctor, I'm going for my yearly psychological at the psychologist. And I want to get myself checked out and make sure that everything is, functioning okay.
Well, that's a very interesting thing, because that's what the psychologist said, too. He said it's like we can say we're playing tennis, for example. You're playing and you can say, well, listen, guys, I can't make the tennis today. I've got a dental appointment. And what you're saying is you want people to feel as comfortable saying, look, I can't make the tennis game, or I can't make the bridge game. I've got a mental health appointment. Is that right?
Yeah, that's completely right. And even like you said, coming up for excuses. I know talking to people who have been to counseling have always said, when I say that I have to miss work or I have to miss whatever for counseling, it's a doctor's appointment, or it's a family emergency, or I'm just running an errand. And it shouldn't have to be like that. It should be an open conversation.
Well, I think people who attend your work, your side presentation, what do you call it? It's not a workshop. What do you call it?
It's just going to be a presentation. It's going to be a talk, basically.
A talk, basically. Well, I think people who make an attempt to get to Palmyra and come to this mental health fair are going to be very rewarded. What other presentations are you going to be having that would be honoring Mark? And maybe if you'd had if there was a mental health fair, maybe people would be more alert. What else is going to be presented?
Other events other than May?
I know at the fair, because I think it's a very exciting fair where people can get acquainted with mental health concepts and become more comfortable. And as you point out, help to erase the stigma.
Like I said, there are going to be a lot of local agencies that are going to be involved. So if you're having a personal issue with your sexuality, like I said, the LGBT Center will be there. And if you feel more comfortable talking with one of them, you can go up and you can talk to one of them. Or if you have, a friend or a family member who's been acting strange, but you really haven't been able to put your finger on it, and you see, okay, this is an issue that they might be battling, I can go talk to this booth and these people, and they might be able to provide me resources. Or even veterans. We're really trying to encourage veterans and their families to come out, because just this year it was, I believe it's over 1,800 veterans have committed suicide since January 1st this year. And we lose more active duty military members to suicide than we do in combat every year. And that's something that's not acceptable, and that's something that needs to be addressed.
Well, I think that this is a wonderful organization that you formed, Maggie Dugan, and it sounds like it's going to be very, very helpful. This mental health fair sounds very, very exciting. Do you have any other events planned, or is that all? That's it for the year?
For right now, our mental health fair is going to be our big event for the spring. We're looking into doing possibly a community baseball game over in between the end of August and the beginning of September. And throughout the school year, we want to be involved with local youth groups and schools and other community agencies to really provide, especially youth, but everybody, resources. If your community wants to hold an event and you're not local necessarily, shoot us an email. Give us a call. We will do everything we can to hold an event that caters to your community and your community's needs as best as possible.
Maggie, give the email that they can shoot to.
It would be makeamarkformark@gmail.com, or you can always go to our website, which is makeamarkformark.org, and go to the Making Your Mark, and on the bottom there is a little link to contact us. And you can even message us over Facebook at www.facebook.com/makeamarkformark.
Well, you know, you have formed a very wonderful organization with Mark's family, and you are doing such a great service to the community, because I agree with you that mental health does have a stigma. And wouldn't it be wonderful to honor Mark with the ability to say, we, in your honor, Mark, have made it possible for fewer and fewer and no people to use suicide as a method to solve a problem. So I want to thank you, Maggie Jugon, co-founder of Make a Mark for Mark, for your inspiring message to all teenagers and parents and to the community. And if you would like to support the organization, the Mental Health Fair will be held on May 18th. And give the website again.
The website is makeamarkformark.org. And if, like I said, if you want to hold an event, just go to the Making Your Mark link, and you can connect to contacting us. And if you want to donate to our cause, there's the donate button on the top right-hand corner everywhere on the site, and that's linked through TPEC. They're our fiscal sponsor, and all you have to do is click on Make a Donation and type in our name.
Thank you, Maggie Jugon, for helping us to take charge of our lives by making us aware of the mental health needs and signs of depression in our teenagers today. Thank you for the organization that you and your fellow, that you and the family have created. Thank you for helping us to take charge of our lives. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.